few Sunday afternoons ago, I was stood by the front door of the hall here, watching people trying vainly, in some instances, not to break eggs. If that sentence means very little to you, then you don't really know the joys that are messy church. If that's put you off messy church, that is not all there is to messy church. And you really ought to come along and find out. It's all about Bible teaching. But there we were, stood at the door, when people who will remain nameless to protect the innocent were trying to get a piece of sellotape. Other sticky tape is available, but this was particularly sellotape. And they were struggling. Now you tell me, what was it they were struggling to find? The beginning. We all say the end, don't we? I'm looking for the end. Okay, I can't find... No, you can't find the beginning. And I was thinking about that when I was also thinking about this event in the life of the church as we recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. As Major Susan intimated, let's set some ground rules here. For those of you who may not understand the intricacies of New Testament canon, or even that sentence that I've just uttered from this platform, all those bits of the Bible are individual writings. And you will have heard of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm quite convinced. And Luke, the third of the Gospels, is written by this doctor, Luke, the great physician Luke. And he went on to write a second writing, which we now know as the Acts of the Apostles. And what he was doing, he was writing to this person called Theophilus, whom possibly and probably was an historical character. And he wanted to explain to him all that was going on in the life of Jesus and beyond. There is a train of thought which says it was the second part of a trilogy, and that the third part was never written or has never come to us. There is also another train of thought which says that the name Theophilus means lover of God. And so it could well be that you, who are a lover of God, this is written for you. Of course, we also recognize that the whole message, the whole essence of this particular part of Scripture was that these men and women of faith who were to rise up and to be witnesses were, as we've heard again and again this morning, to go from their comfort zones into all the world and proclaim the gospel. The good news of Jesus. The good news that all the world may be saved. We used to say in the Salvation Army, and probably in other churches as well, particularly the evangelical ilk, are you saved? Are you saved? When was the last time anybody asked you that question? I'm asking you today. Are you saved? Have you turned away from the world and turned to the Lord Jesus? Simple question, but it demands an answer. Have you? If you have, then you're within the kingdom of God. And being within the kingdom of God, we set aside all other earthly rulers. Let me explain a little bit more. I'm going to quote from Ian Blakelock's commentary on Acts, the introduction there too. And I've been told by someone not a million miles away from me, that's a long quote. So prepare. It's not that long, trust me. For this story of Acts that we are going to begin to unfold parts of over these coming weeks moves rapidly from episode to episode. It shows the church in birth and being, in experiment and action, as devoted minds sought after and apprehended truth, shaping policy and purpose in the process. It reveals the growing vitality of the Christian faith as it outgrew prejudice and limitation. It tells of men who had known horizons little wider than those of Palestine, conceiving bold projects of world evangelism and moving out in the strength of indomitable faith to reach the nations with their story. And I continue. As the purpose of the story takes final shape, it also tells of other men. For they were not dead who had misconceived the ministry of Christ and failed to see the truth which lay in centuries of Scripture. Pride and prejudice and the preconceptions of nationalism not only attacked the new society, but penetrated it and sought to confine and constrict its purpose. But there was a wider world than that which was hemmed between the desert and the sea, with Jerusalem as its proud, hard core. These words, written many, many years ago, in my mind resonated with the events. And trust me, I'm not going to get political here. We are where we are. However, we of the Christian faith cannot be confined merely to nationalism. We are broader than that. The kingdom of God is broader than the measure of man's mind. And we have to realize that. These disciples of Jesus that we read about in Acts, and these disciples of Jesus that I see before me today, and these disciples of Jesus who will listen to this message as it goes out on the internet through this week, you, the disciples of Jesus, are members of the kingdom of God that transcends all earthly things. We are not a republic, we are a kingdom. We bow not to a president or a prime minister elected by the will of the people, but to a king, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, for whom we are not advisers, but we are messengers and missioners. Does that make sense? We have come, my friends, to the end. We have worked out where the end is, and we have begun to unravel the story of God's work with his people without the physical presence of God in Jesus at their side. What a powerful, powerful mission we have. Representatives, emissaries of the King, to go with a mission and a message into the world. Who's up for it? That was my great speech. There was supposed to be a rousing hallelujah at that point. Have we lost the sense of mission? Have we? That inspired our early zeal as Brinley Boone wrote many years ago. Have we lost that sense of mission? We're a Salvation Army, my dear friends. We have to be proactive in the proclamation of the gospel. We have to go with the message to where the people are. And sometimes the people are where you are from a Monday to a Saturday, not in here. Not in here. We have to go into our Jerusalems. We have to go into our Samarias. We have to go to the uttermost parts of the world so that we can proclaim the good news of Jesus. The Acts of the Apostles, as we will discover, is a roller coaster of emotions and stories and events. It goes from moments of quietness and peace and reflection into riot. It goes from animosity to deep friendship. It covers the whole gamut of human emotion. It goes into the realms of politics, both external with the powers that be in the society in which we live and politics within the church. It describes the way in which God continually unfolds to us what we ought to be about, where we ought to be, what we ought to be doing. And it's a dangerous book. It's a dangerous book. But it is also a book which has not yet finished. I always remember as a young person sat in church being told that the Acts of the Apostles is the only book in the Bible that has yet to be finished, to be written, because we are writing its pages week by week, day by day. We are exploring the Acts of the Apostles, those called by God. But we are called by him. We are called by him to be people of salvation, people who know our sins, our distance from God. If you don't understand the word sin, it's your distance from God has been overcome because Jesus has come to this earth. He has given his life, and we are recipients of his grace and mercy and favor, and we need to tell the world. We have to act as people whose sins are forgiven. We have to behave as those who are filled with the grace of God. We have to be people of spirit and depth and God. Those men and women who stood on that hillside and saw Jesus ascend into heaven, what did they say? Is this the end? Or is this the beginning? Is this the beginning of something new and wonderful? As they went back into their upper room, as they met in the temple and worshipped and praised, as they spent time in prayer, I couldn't help but think of the work of the street pastors as they gathered in their upper room to pray and then went off into the city to live out the faith. I couldn't help think of members of the band who spend time in worship and bless us in that way and then go off into the city and live out their life. I couldn't help think of those who on a Monday prepare a meal and then open the doors that the whosoever may come in and eat. Or those who go out with the van on a Monday night with soup and sandwiches into our city. I couldn't help but think of every ministry, every activity, not only of this Salvation Army Corps, this Salvation Army Church, but every church in our city, in our nation, in across this world who are going out there seeking to serve the people, but serve Christ first. The Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Disciples, and those who claimed faith in Jesus are recorded here for us. For you, what is your part in this? Are you a mere spectator, a reader of the word? Let us not be hearers of the word only, but doers also, writes James in his epistle. We must be doers of the word of God, so that we live as one who's been forgiven. Bless you each one of you, in every action you partake in the name of Jesus, for the kingdom of God's sake. And may you be blessed by him as you explore what it is he is asking of you in these days. Let us pray together. Loving God, all-powerful, almighty God, we thank you that you place the means of salvation into the hearts of people, and through the actions of those whom you have called, others can see and hear of the love of God. May we go with a message of hope into our world. May we go with forgiveness in our hearts to forgive others, with compassion in our hearts to show compassion to others, with the kingdom in and around and through us that it may come in, around and through others too. And may we share you with honour. And in feeding a hungry world with a bottle of water or a sandwich or a kindly word or good advice, may we do it through God himself. And in his name we make our prayer. Amen. I call you to conclude, to come to the end or the beginning of this meeting this morning, to sing the words of 850, words by William and Gloria Gaither. People who have been forgiven, people who have learned compassion, people who feed this world. We are those people, and we need to step up to do that.